This is Ozarks at Large. Communities around the world are experiencing economic and social upheaval because of the pandemic. A team of researchers at the University of Arkansas is working to document and understand how these changes and underlying fears are having an impact on society's collective social and psychological well-being. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek reports.
In the first few weeks of the coronavirus outbreak, Kevin Fitzpatrick, a University of Arkansas professor and Jones Chair in Community at the Department of Sociology, had an experience many of us are probably familiar with.
The whole conversation started after I had come back striking out at Sam's because they didn't have any toilet paper or paper towels. I guess maybe I was not thinking about it perhaps as much as I might have, but I really just anticipated that I'd go in and things might be a little scant, but I'd get what I needed. But I struck out all over.
The conversation Fitzpatrick is referring to is the one he had with his colleagues afterwards, where they discussed the concept of fear.
It struck me at that moment that, you know, there's something going on here that I'm not sure that we've done a really good job of understanding in the past.
Fitzpatrick says there's not much academic literature on fear in the context of a traumatic public health crisis, and the experience is not well documented.
It's kind of a vacuous concept. There's a lot packed into it. You know, it's funny when if you Google fear, trust me, the first thing that's not going to come up is fear of a pandemic. It's, you know, fear of falling, fear of spiders, fear of all these other things that are part of our common everyday experience.
But the fear some people might be experiencing now because of the outbreak is different, he says.
This is a special type of fear. It has a heightened level of anxiety and depression and for many what will likely be post-traumatic stress. They're all tied together, and I think that, you know, our well-being as a country is at risk right now. We just got to make sure that we do a really good job of, again, not only addressing it, but figuring out ways to minimize it or mitigate it.
That's why Fitzpatrick and two of his colleagues, Associate Professor Casey Harris and Assistant Professor Grant Dravi, applied for and received a $185,000 rapid response research grant from the National Science Foundation to study fear across the country by looking at how people are responding to it based on a number of factors.
Fear, like many other emotions, are not equitably distributed across America. There are some really significant pockets. They are sometimes related to income and color, and other times they're related to location and region, and other times they're related to other individual or systemic characteristics. But regardless, it's not uniformly distributed across the country, and I think that's part of the story that we want to try and tell.
Fitzpatrick says they sampled more than 10,000 people across the U.S. The surveys were sent out, and the data was collected during the last half of March. A national firm then weighted the data based on the census representations for age, gender, race, income, and geography. The surveys took about 20 minutes to answer and asked respondents questions on a range of topics related to the pandemic.
Are you personally fearful? Are you fearful for your family? Are you fearful for your friends? So there's a set of questions that are related to not only personal, but sort of external fear. We also ask a set of questions that are, more subjectively related to how people perceive the fear and where that perception is coming from.
Casey Harris, who is also the co-director of the Center for Social Research, developed and programmed the survey.
In a lot of ways, fear drives, it's an emotional response that drives behavior in very unique ways because it's so acute, it's so strong, and it's kind of immediate.
And in many ways, Harris adds, fear is a communal experience as well.
When people are fearful and you're surrounded by people who are fearful, there are all these things that kind of come with that, things like anxiety and potentially depression, right? Or, support for different types of behaviors that your government may take, certain types of policies that might be put in place. And then subsequently things like panic buying. Panic buying by default is a response to concern over something that is pretty acute, right? It means that you need to go get it then and now.
To get a more accurate representation of what's happening on the ground across the U.S., Harris says the survey asked respondents the same question in multiple ways.
Respondents were sort of asked to think critically, make comparisons in a lot of cases, revisit answers that they may have had before. And we find that, you know, for the most part, I mean, across 10,000 plus people, that there's a lot of consistency with the way that they're answering.
Harris says they observed that consistency in the group of people who was not overly concerned about the outbreak and the group that was. They then started digging in deeper to examine how individuals' perceived risk and expression of fear are driven by demographics, physical and mental health, social connectivity, and types of media consumption.
Grant and myself are working on things related to trust in institutions and organizations and the sorts of policies that people support or don't support related to the coronavirus.
One of his first projects, Harris says, involves the partisan difference in how people experience fear.
So we know from a lot of like kind of anecdotal accounts that some Republicans tend to be less, let's say, aggressive in practicing some of the social distancing measures. They tend to express less overall fear or at least concern for the spread of the virus.
The data they collected backed up the anecdotal evidence. But Harris says they also wanted to know where that difference came from.
And it turns out a lot of it is related to where people are consuming information, how they're getting it, who's in their social network and how they're talking to those people, as well as sort of the spatial components to this, which is the other big aspect of the project. That is where people are living and how far they are from confirmed cases, at least at the time that we were measuring this stuff.
Meanwhile, Kevin Fitzpatrick says he's been examining the data from the point of view of physical and mental health, specifically how the outbreak impacts food insecurity and mental health illnesses like depression and anxiety. He believes the pandemic has been a watershed moment in the health history of the country, and researchers would be remiss if they didn't document it in real time.
I think many people would look at what has happened and where we are right now in terms of healthcare, in terms of access to food, in terms of, there's a lot that we have seen in terms of fallout from this. I think the argument could be that we're probably not as prepared as we think we are.
The goal of their research is to provide government and public health officials with more information about how we're reacting and whether we can improve it.
We have to document the consequences of these types of experiences in our history, because if we don't, we can't learn from them.
Fitzpatrick says since they gathered their first set of surveys on the front end of the outbreak, he and his colleagues would like to go back to respondents later and survey them again to find out whether their experience of fear has changed and why. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.